Now the time is moving. Okay. Excellent. It's 5:31, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. Welcome, Kyle.
Thank you.
Milky, you are our newest member. Welcome aboard. Mm-hmm. With that, we'll do the roll call. Is that you, Bart?
Yes. Peter.
Here.
Kyle.
Here.
CB. Not here. Nathaniel. Not here. Sarah.
Here.
Michael J.
Present.
Doug.
Here.
And Mike.
Here.
We have quorum.
Are there any amendments to the agenda?
I move to, because I have the minutes of the June 13th meeting, in addition to the May 9th meeting that's in the packet, and I got that done just a few minutes after Nick sent the packet out. So what I was, it's not a big deal either way, but I guess I would propose to move all the minutes action items to kind of between B and C and just take a 5-minute break to read the June 13th just to get June out of the way. But I could go either way. So that's my motion.
Okay, so you're moving, we approve both the May 9th and the June 13th minutes between 8B and 8C? After the chair's report?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any objections to doing so? Hearing none, we will move approval of the May 9th and June 13th minutes to...
With a break.
With a 5-minute
recess.
We'll make it, I guess, 8C1?
Yeah. Well, no, why not make it 8B4? Because otherwise you have to move. You have to make, right?
We will make it 8B4.
Okay.
Minutes. Okay. Hearing no objection, we will move those to 8B4. Do we have the July 11th minutes to approve? Or do we need to?
We don't have those.
Okay.
I only have May's minutes.
Right.
Doug has the June minutes that he will pass out during said 5-minute recess.
Cool.
So we can read them.
Cool.
Okay, so we will postpone the July 11th minutes to the meeting of September 11th? 12th?
12th. 12th, it says here.
Thank you. Oh, right at the bottom. Thank you, guys. Okay. I will read the public involvement announcement. Audience participation at this meeting is limited to the public comment section of the agenda. However, the chair may open any agenda item for public comment. Written comments will be addressed first, then verbal comments on a first recognized basis by the board chair. Each commenter should state their name so it can be recorded in the minutes. Commenters will have 2 minutes to speak on each agenda item they wish to comment on. Following that, we will move on to 8B1, which is the directors and operations update, which is Jamie.
All right, thank you. Jamie Acton, public transportation director for less than 24 hours. So I am happy to announce Bart was selected to be in acting. So you are in good hands. So tomorrow is my last day with the municipality and PTD. So I just want to say thank you to all of you. We have done some really great work in the last 6 years and very proud of everything that we all have accomplished. So I just have a few things. The most important thing was I wanted to let you guys know that we had somebody in acting. It feels very quick. And tomorrow Bart and I will have some handoff. but of course, you know, like I've let everybody know, I'm not going far. I'm staying in transit. I'm going to go work for the Federal Transit Administration. And I'm literally just a call or text away because I've spent almost 2 decades with the municipality. I can't just, like, go away. I mean, maybe they want that, but we'll see. So super excited to have this new opportunity. I did say, you know, how awesome is it to have two really hard decisions to make? Two great career opportunities, two great cities, some really hard choices, but time for new opportunities. So tomorrow, if you're available, haven't gotten this on the calendar yet, we will meet with the administration on the 2025 budget and her priorities. And so looking at budget guidance this year, it was requested that each department provide basically a flat funding budget. So what that means is that we really won't see any increases or changes at this point. That'll be presented to the assembly by the administration. That does not mean that the assembly could make other decisions, whether it's increases or decreases. Essentially, right now, we are not looking for any bond for 2025, so it'll be a bond holiday for the department. The reason why we're not looking at any bond for capital projects right now is we have so many projects in the works that need to be finished, and old federal dollars and bond that need to be utilized before we go out and ask for any additional money. So what that's potentially going to look like for transit is possibly contracting out some additional project management staff to help launch these projects and get them out the door. Right now, we technically have two project managers, one for capital, and then the other for kind of catch-all non-construction related capital projects. So this is a big deal to go on a bond holiday. Like, we are usually very successful. We always bond with police and fire and traffic, and so little different strategy this year, but it is definitely one of those fiscal responsible, fiduciary responsibility type situations where we can't keep taking on more money than we can spend down in a efficient and timely manner. And then we are looking at, I think Bart's going to be talking about it a little later. Are we talking about service change? No. Okay. There is some conversations with the administration right now about potential changes to limiting barriers to employment with the entire municipality. One of the things that people have heard loud and clear is that our service change in October is based off of workforce availability. The actual number of bus operators that can show up to work every single day to do the work that is scheduled. And so that's looking like a lot of different things. It is even to the piece and point of, does a bus operator need to have a high school diploma or a GED? There's a lot of conversation around that right now. Industry-wide, it's a mixed bag. But one thing that we are finding is that with the new federal motor carrier rules, you have to go through what is called entry-level driver training. It's a certified program. It's a set number of weeks, classroom time, behind-the-wheel time, things like that. There is a fee associated with it. But what we're finding is a lot of those programs that are offered at the statewide require you to have a high school diploma or a GED just to go through the training program. So if we reduce the requirement as an employer, you still may have that barrier to getting that actual CDL, the Class B, with a passenger endorsement, if you don't have that education or piece right there. So trying to figure out some more conversation around that. That may look like a statewide conversation, potentially with the governor's office, things like that. The changes to the ELDT, the entry-level driver training program, came down in 22. And with that additional time, there was also an increase in cost. So right now, the cost to get your Class B with passenger endorsement is pretty close to $10,000. It's very expensive. And so also with that, there's a limited number of certified trainers that are available. Right now, the last thing that I had heard about getting your passenger endorsement, you can't just go down to the DMV and get that. It's 6 to 8 weeks. So lots of conversation of how do we get more people in the pipeline? How do we move the hiring process along? How do we remove barriers? But it's, it's that you pull the curtain back and you're like, oh God. So really looking at, kind of all the layers. So there's no quick fixes. And so right now, as we're looking at the service change, really looking to right size the service based on workforce availability. But these are going to be ongoing long-term conversations about how do we, grow our own operators. Is it an internal training program? ASD has their own training program. It's a multi-week training, so there's some incentive there too. You know, there's some bonuses with their hiring. And they're now offering employment year-round, whereas before it was, you know, just during the school year. So they're doing a lot to try to retain and recruit their operators, but just a very different, you know, school bus operator compared to public transit operator, very different. So more conversations around that. The administration is going to be sitting down with the departments and going through the transition reports, the ones that were provided by the department specifically, and then there were the community-driven transition reports. You may have seen both floating around out there. So the reports that were submitted through the previous administration, if you read PTDs, you will see that there was a decision made on the transit center. Yes, you all made a recommendation to the department. We are waiting on a finalized document, and then we'll be presenting that to the new administration for their decision and determination. So just so everybody is clear, an actual location has not been determined, and also next steps have not been determined outside of bringing your recommendation and a finalized document to the new administration. So just want to be real clear about what you may have seen versus what, where we are actually in the process. So I'll kind of leave it there. Any questions for me?
Just out of curiosity, how much say does the assembly have in picking the new transit center, the site, and the whole project? Is it just the mayor's office?
It will be the mayor's decision. This has been a really big conversation, primarily around the redevelopment at the transit center. Mm-hmm. They have a very large hand in what's happening there with the development agreement and some of those pieces and parts. Mm-hmm. But that is primarily because it's an ACDA building, and you know, as we are a tenant, it's a little bit different. So there has been some gray area there about what the assembly's role is in a site selection, like what we went through. Mm-hmm. That was a mayoral directive of the Bronson administration that we do that process based on the redevelopment project. So I don't want to say that they don't have any say or they won't get involved at all. Mm-hmm. But as it was originally planned, it was a mayoral decision.
Okay.
Right. More to be revealed.
Mm-hmm. Not exactly a constitutional crisis.
Stay tuned. I think it's going to be a very large conversation coming up to this winter.
Sure.
You know, we are going on 4 years of a temporary location with no indoor waiting area in downtown, obviously.
I've noticed.
There's a lot of interest in what is actually happening, and is there an opportunity to be inside this winter?
All right, cool.
My brother is a bus driver in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And they're Teamsters.
Yep, so are ours.
And the Teamsters have an apprenticeship program down there. Mm-hmm. And that's how he got in, is through the apprenticeship program where they have all the training and everything goes through the union?
Yep. So our Teamsters have an apprentice program up here. They do not do a passenger endorsement.
Because the passenger endorsement is part of the
Yes, but I think what you're seeing down in Seattle is a larger market and probably more...
Because they also get them summer jobs. Mm-hmm. The Teamsters have it set up so that he wound up going to Yosemite mm-hmm. during the summer through the union.
Yeah, we have some interesting dynamics with the Teamsters here, things that definitely need to be developed, and some partnerships there that there's some good opportunities. But right now as it stands, the local Teamsters do have an apprentice program. They primarily are concentrated on sending people up to the North Slope. And long-haul trucking sure. and things like that. But unfortunately, they do not have a program with a passenger endorsement at this point. So most people, you could go get your CDL through the Teamsters, but you still have to go get that passenger piece and do that ELDT training. Yeah. So we would love to encourage the Teamsters to pick up that that piece. You know, these are their members, bus operators with passenger endorsement. So.
And I have three or four things, actually, real quick. But the first thing, and then I'll let CB go, and then I'll go. I wanted the record to show that Nathaniel and CB arrived during your report. Go ahead, CB.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, sorry I'm late. 5:30 is tough to get here. There was a gentleman in the crowd, public, last time. I don't think you were here, Peter.
No,
I don't think you were there either. And he said there is, in fact, an apprenticeship program, but it's a year and a half waiting list.
With the Teamsters?
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if that is, I would be...
That doesn't surprise
me. Sorry, it does not surprise me, but the biggest piece is that they don't do that passenger endorsement.
Right. And then, but he talked about that too. What did he say? Do you remember?
Not really, just that it...
Does anybody remember?
I don't. It'll be on the audio.
Yeah.
On the website.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he said something like, I can't remember, it was in Kenai or something.
I wasn't sure that he was saying it was a Teamster thing.
There are multiple training programs in Soldotna and Kenai.
Okay, so maybe that's what he's referring to for the passenger endorsement.
Yes,
but you don't have to be, right? As long as you get your CDL, you can get, but then you have to join the union once you get a...
So to be a municipal bus operator, you have to join the Teamsters.
Yeah.
And then you may elect to not have union representation.
Sure.
But
in order to get in the union, you have to have, to be a bus driver, you have to have the endorsement. That's not offered, so you have to go do it on your own, then join the Teamsters.
Right.
Seems a little bad. It's
a lot. It's very cumbersome.
It's very unionish.
So there is definitely the opportunity to like bring that training in house and see, you know, that will take getting, you know, a trainer, a full-time trainer, sending them out to become certified.
Sure, yeah.
You know, there's different registrations that have to go through the feds and then also through the state, and then you either choose to still test with the DMV and they are limited on, you know, their capacity and who they're testing. So then do you bring in a trainer and a tester? There's a lot of pieces to it. So
thanks.
But this is something that's, you know, nationwide we are running into this. Probably worldwide actually.
Okay. So my questions, you had mentioned an increase in costs that's almost $10,000. I'm assuming that is per person, and that is the cost to the individual, not an organization that would be training them. Though if you were to take it in-house, I'm assuming that cost would then be the in-house cost, or it would be the potential employee's cost.
So I would think that we would take that cost in-house, but at that point, we would probably also be on the hook for, I would be paying a trainer, I would be paying a tester, I would be having equipment, I would be having hopefully paid trainees to incentivize them to come to work for us. So there's still gonna be the cost there, and it might actually be a little bit more than $10,000.
Right.
Because at that point they will be full-time, they will have insurance and retirement and all the benefits that come with the municipality potentially. So it might be one of those things where it's going to be expensive regardless, but is there more of a draw if we are able to provide that training, and then is there better retention?
Right. If everything fell into place tomorrow, like all of those resources are just like, hey, look, we found this, you know, in the back and in the closet. How long would it take from finding the funding tomorrow to like actually rolling that out?
To rolling out a program?
Yeah.
So there is a local option for training. It's down in Seward.
Mm-hmm.
So we would need to first identify a trainer. The municipal hiring process is 6 to 8 months, just on average. Not for a CDL, Class B with passenger endorsement. So that is not a fast process. But in the meantime, we would need to be getting the accreditation and the affiliation with the federal motor carrier, register with them. We would need to get registered with the state, the DMV. We would probably have to take on potentially some sort of risk and liability with the municipality. We would have to probably work through the CBAs, the collective bargaining agreements that would allow trainees to come in. So there's a lot of moving pieces and parts here that if year
okay
plus
if it all fell into place,
yes, and that,
with no
with no
bumps in funding was not an issue. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
yeah, it, you just kind of start peeling back that onion.
Okay. Does anybody have any additional questions?
I do.
Bearer of
notice. I do. So I have, since I just listened to the June meeting again, listening to Mike Robbins and Jim Weingartner of ACTA, they specifically said the financing has to be in place by
November 1st,
and you guys asked them twice to clarify that. So I'll just make an observation that, and what I got from them is that if that doesn't work out, it's almost back to square one. That's just, it's not a question, it's just my observation. So that could be a wrench in the whole works and array, and it could kind of postpone the whole decision on the transit center, my opinion. So that's my observation on that. And so November 1st is like, seems to be approaching pretty quickly to me.
That's far away.
Yeah. All right. Any additional questions? Thank you. And we'll move on to the ridership update.
Okay. That is on the third page of your packet. Colorful graphs. Every July, we take a small dip in ridership, so that's common. We're still way above, so the red line, 11,000 riders in July. The line right below it, the darkish blue one, that's last year. So we're still trending above, gaining ridership year after year, still not back up to the 2019. We don't have the 2019 up there, but that would have been close to 11.8. So we're still below, but we're getting close, still increasing. The graph below that shows ridership per route. The route 25 continues to be the highest ridership route, followed by the four frequent routes. No surprise there. You turn the page. Overall system performance. This is our on-time performance. So reminder, on-time performance means the bus is on time or up to 5 minutes past the scheduled time. Our goal is to be around 85%. We only have one route meeting that goal. So that is one thing that the service change in October will account for. We're adjusting all the run times on all the routes to make sure that they have the proper time allotted to them, so that we can get that on-time performance back up and that reliability back in place. But 41 is the most reliable route. It's also one of the shortest routes, so it's easy to keep on time. And then below, you just put, you know, we remind people of the colors on our map. Just if you don't know, red means the lines every 15 minutes. Purple is a mix between 15 and 30. Blue is 30. Green is every 60 minutes. And yellow is a commuter route. So don't have to go over that every time, I guess. The Anchor Rides ridership report went up in July up to 14,000. Compared to the three-year average, so their ridership continues to go upwards too. The next page is their on-time performance, and as we noted below, for multiple reasons and reporting changes, it's a little bit lower than the three-year average, but hovering around the 85% mark. The next one is unduplicated customers, so how many people are using Anchor Rides. That number continues to grow as well. Over 1,000 people, individual people, are using Anchor Rides every month. So that indicates the need for that service. So. The next page is van pool. We are back up to 93 van pools in June. 93 has been our highest number. It still is our highest number of van pools. So we dropped down and now we're heading back up. We have increased marketing efforts through enterprise, through a lot of employers, so we hope to see some of those results. And the goal is to get that number to 100. And the next graph below, 538 people participate in that program. The next page is vehicle miles saved. So vehicle miles saved went down in June, even though we have a lot of van pools. So I'm not sure why that happened.
Yeah. People take the summer time.
Yeah, maybe that is vacation. But I will look into that. And then emissions, how many pounds? 419,000 pounds of CO2 reduced. From that.
All right. Does anybody have questions for Bart?
Quick question, just again out of curiosity. Do we know why it dips, the people mover ridership dips in July?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
I do not know. It would all be a guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe it's also just PTO? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's when riders take time off?
Yeah.
I don't know how to ask that on a survey, like a rider survey. Why don't you ride the bus in July? Doug, were you going to say
well,
something?
Well, just this is not exactly ridership, but where are we on the service change survey? We passed the deadline for comment, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step?
So the next step is to now make a decision, which the department has. So we got about 650 responses on the survey. The majority of people, in probably like a 60-40 split, chose option B, which was the Route 25, making that every half hour, as opposed to all the half hour routes going every hourly. That option, out of the two options, option A reduced the most amount of drivers, option B reduced it to where we think our maximum should be, but it's still a little maybe uncomfortable. But that is the one that we as a department chose to move forward with. The division managers met last week, or this week. Yeah, just Monday or something.
Just a couple days ago. Wow.
And chose to go with option B. So we have not rolled that out to the public yet or anything.
Yeah, well, I don't want to jump the gun. You can tell us in September. But
yeah, I mean, I think we're in a public meeting, guys. Yeah. It will all be on the website here very shortly. We just haven't had it time to put it together. But yeah, so we're moving forward with option B, reducing the Route 25 to every half hour. And we will probably also need to take some of those a la carte options that were proposed after those. And we'll see how far down that list we need to get to as Stephen does the schedule.
It's very much probably a hybrid looking model of what was proposed.
And my question is, have we looked at any of these ridership numbers in proportion, like as a percentage of the Anchorage population, as opposed to number of riders as our population fluctuates?
The issue with the ridership numbers is this is not individual people, it's rides. So
that
even
sense.
Though it says 11,000, that's not 11,000 people. You know, you figure you take a to and from trip, so 5,500 maybe at minimum, but then you take multiple trips. So we don't know exactly how many people are riding, but we do have an onboard survey that's going to go next month where we're going to have people actually out surveying riders, and we're going to get a statistically valid survey of who's riding our system and where they're going, where they're coming from, how many times they transfer, some demographic information, and that will give us a better understanding of how many people and who is actually riding the system today. Our last one was in 2014, so it's
been a minute.
Yeah, I'd imagine the transfer aspect would kind of mess that up, because if somebody has to take two buses to get to work, and then two buses to get home.
It's four rides,
Yeah, that's four rides counted in this number.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And there's, 291,000 people in Anchorage?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the census data, that the last decennial census, 1% of the people in Anchorage said that they take the bus to and from work. Mm-hmm. So for commuting purposes, it's 1% of the population.
Okay. All right. Are there any additional questions? We will move on to the chair's report, which is me. I wanted to give an update of what I have kind of set as chair priorities going into the fall, and I'm doing this both to communicate them and also to hold myself accountable so folks can be like, hey, Sarah, remember the August meeting? You said we were going to do that. So to list them, and these correspond with the goals and priorities that we came up with last year as a board. So I was trying to match those to our our priorities. So the first one is to complete the procedures and order of business. So we have, you know, our guidelines for how we do things. And I also want to look at totem projects that PTAP can advocate for. And so that will be in concert. I guess I'll be emailing you, Bart, in the near future about what we can advocate for. Coming up in October, we'll be looking at the budget and advocating for the department's budget. As usual, I can go in front of the assembly, or if someone wants to practice their public speaking skills, we usually go up in front of the assembly and advocate for the transit department's budget. And this year, we're also going to send a thank you letter to the federal delegation in October. Also, something we haven't started yet is a training manual. So we have a training manual for onboarding folks. I am going to reach out to the person who is in the mayor's office with boards and commissions to see, do they have anything that we should add in? Do they already have something that we could just add to, you know, that's transit related? And then I'll also work on scheduling a fall orientation. So we'll do a tour again of the transit, your department. Over there, and are you guys technically in UMed? Sort of.
Tudor Elmore.
Side?
Yeah,
Tudor Elmore.
South of UMed.
So Med.
If you want some help with the public speaking aspect of it, I can write speeches and give them. So.
Excellent. I usually take all of the energy and guts I have and read it really fast.
Tell them about the 3 minute part.
Yeah, you have 3 minutes.
See, I'm naturally pompous, so I love public speaking.
I go up there with, yeah, all of my gumption, and then I immediately lose it when I stand up there. And, but it's good practice. So yes, we'll schedule a fall orientation, and then in December-ish, we will review our annual goals and priorities going into 2025, so we can do this all over again next year. Something we have done this year, we returned to in-person meetings. That was one of the goals on our goals and visions. Here we are. We also passed those core values and goals. That took a little longer than we thought it would, and we also welcomed our newly elected officials. And next up, we'll also want to work on some talking points, so we all have our elevator speeches to advocate for transit. That is my report. Does anybody have any questions for me? Yes, sir.
I've heard it referenced multiple times. Could you just briefly describe Totem for me?
Totem is the transit on the move. Okay. It's basically transit's strategic plan.
Yep.
Is that?
I'm familiar, just haven't heard that acronym.
Oh, sorry, yes.
I did.
Yes.
So yes, Transit on the Move, it's that booklet with many, many, many projects that we're working on in order, or the transit department's working on in order, and we advocate accordingly. If there are no questions for me at this time, I will ask Doug to pass out the June minutes. We will take a 5 minute recess. We will come back at 6:10. After reading these minutes. So we're, yes, 5 minute recess. Come back at 6:10.
Do you want your audio on or you want a break?
Oh, I guess we can. Can I pause it? Does all this wondering go on the internet?
I don't know your information, but I saw it. Okay, thank you. Because I don't
think I can do it
to
my phone.
I don't know how to pause this. It's got stop or record.
Okay, then you stop.